It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We
can lead the heart, back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in! Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three, bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead! 8 seconds remaining.
That was the final sequence. Well, the Sixers did have an opportunity to launch up a three. Joel Embiid missed it to try to tie the game. But that was the final deciding sequence as the Knicks beat the Sixers in game two last night, courtesy of MSG, and the rare double bang from Mike Breen. Mike Breen, he's got a couple things. He goes bang, and then he goes, no good, if a shot's missed.
Way off.
Way off. He does that, too, if a shot doesn't hit the rim. But those are his go-tos. But the double bang, we don't hear that very often. That might be because it's a Knicks broadcast.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
I was going to say, let's go through the archives, how many first-round double bangs there are.
Yeah, it's certainly a Knicks thing, at least the first round. Someone, and it's just nonsense, I don't know how you chart this, they said this is the fifth double bang in Mike Breen's career. Like, how do you, who's charting that number?
Also, I seriously doubt that.
That he, well,
there's only been five.
Did he do when Ray Allen hit his shot? Was I think that was a double bang.
That
too.
One was one. There's a regular season one with the Steph shot against OKC in like 2016
when it's like near half court when he throws it up. So of all the, those just three off the 60% top of our head.
And we named.
We've got three already, and he's been calling games how long and for how many networks, whether it be ABC, ESPN, or MSG. Yeah, I'm going to say there have been more than five double bangs, but it's rare. We don't see him get to that point, particularly in a first-round matchup. But it was an exciting conclusion to a playoff game, and he's calling it for his home team. So it went well for the Knicks. They're up 2-0, and I was looking at the clip while you were playing it to kind of deduce why Nick Nurse was so upset beyond, you know, the fact that his team blew a five-point lead with 40 seconds to go. That might make me upset. Yeah. That would certainly make me upset. You know, getting a defensive rebound might help as Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, like Isaiah Hartenstein, just grab one in between the two of them and eventually gets out to DiVincenzo. But the criticism by the Sixers and Sixer fans and Nick Nurse is about he tried to call a timeout. And the first time he tried was on an inbounds play where he didn't fully go through with it. In fact, you see him when the inbounds is completed to Tyrese Maxey, he pulls his hands back like, oh, don't want to do it, don't want to do it. And then the screenshot of Tyrese Maxey being on the floor with the ball in his hand as Nick Nurse is trying to call timeout. He was on the ground with the ball in his hand for a quarter of a second before he lost it. You're asking an official to see Tyrese Maxey on the floor with control and Nick Nurse calling a timeout. You're asking for too much. Stop whining. Secure a defensive rebound, and you win the game. This is Nick Nurse afterwards explaining his position, which, as you might imagine, differs from mine.
Well, the first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout.
He didn't.
Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention.
But run out onto the floor.
I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it. There was no time to talk about it. Matt, you can ask him if you want to. See if he saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure. And I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice. Yep. What else?
That's Nick Nurse clearly upset, and it led to a grievance being filed by the Sixers. You can watch the footage for yourself. It's not, it's everywhere. We all have our opinions on it, but that's a man who soft-pedaled, tippy-toeing into calling a timeout the first time, and then once Tyrese Maxey was on the ground, it's too late for all that. The official's not looking at you while one of the players is on the floor with the ball. It's just how it is. You want to call a timeout? Be demonstrative, and he wasn't until it was too late. And now we got people whining. I don't have any love for either of these two teams, but the Sixers and who leads them, they're just taking his lead. And Daryl Morey was like, you know what, we're gonna file a grievance. And it's funny because people are out there now sharing clips of Joel Embiid. We'll play the sound of him last night, but he has attacked Nick Nurse for whining before. Like,
obviously, 2 years ago.
Like, he was going after Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse caught a shot when he was talking about the Nets. He goes, yeah, they whine, and now they're getting calls. I guess they took a direction from Nick Nurse. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, but he pretty much said, this is what Nick Nurse does. I guess they're doing it now, so they got some calls. So it's funny now that those two are together that they're both whining about calls. And I say that because Joel Embiid, who's – I will give him credit. He is not – right, he's not healthy, and he's still putting up big numbers. He's the only reason the Sixers. Well, Tyrese Maxey's good, but without Joel Embiid, this series would be. They're still down. They'd still down be 2-0, but it'd be a different version of that. It'd probably be a real runaway with no real hope. So he's playing hard. I can't attack him and slander him for that, but I can slander him for this. His whining about the officials.
Do you think you guys have gotten a timeout in?
I mean, everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline. But they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about a timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's unacceptable.
The preeminent foul baiter in the NBA is whining about not getting a couple calls. Sometimes the messenger is very important. And this messenger is someone who has benefited beyond being a great player, benefited from so many calls. He's always on the ground, and he is attributed to, my trainer told me that that's how I protect myself. Well, you're injured quite a bit, so maybe stop falling down. I don't know. I don't know how you balance that out, because apparently you still get hurt. I'm not going to accept it from Joel Embiid. Another guy, like if Nicholas Batum, after following Frederick Weiss's advice or lead in insulting Joel Embiid for not playing for France, if he decided he wanted to talk about the officiating, I'd be like, you know what? I never hear from Batum. He's upset. I'll take it from you. But not from you. Not from you. I can't. There are some guys who aren't allowed to complain about not getting calls.
I would say I would love for Batum to maybe work up his heart BPM a little bit more on that last play. If you watch Nick Batum on the last play, like, he does not go above like a light jog the entire time. He's just kind of like standing watching the play happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now because I still have the play going, and you're right. He's just an observer.
Him and Tobias Harris have the best seats in the house.
Yeah, Nicholas Batum doesn't box out Hardenstein. Neither does Hardenstein, and neither does Joel Embiid. Nicholas Batum just happens to be there. He goes, hey, this is a fun game I'm watching.
Wow, look at them go.
Yeah, and then he lackadaisically looks at an official after the ball is already loose. He tries to call a timeout. That's not how it works out. Get yourself involved.
But yeah, Joel Embiid almost took accountability there. He was like, yeah, you know, obviously we gotta actually get the rebound, get the inbound in. That's unacceptable. But the calls, it's like, no, just stop there.
Yes.
Stop where the comma was.
Yes. No, there's someone to blame. And I struggle to blame him because of what he's doing on that bad knee.
I think he's like his plus minus the series is like plus 20 or something. They're down 0-2.
Yeah, he's doing all he can. You see blood on the white like leg covering his knee brace. So you know,
it's like Kirk Schilling.
It's a rough go for him. Nah, Kirk, that was fake for Schilling. Joel Embiid, it's real.
It's also real. Funny how much it's like, no one cares, dude, because you're down 0-2. Yes. Kirk Schilling, won.
He won. He's a winner.
At least you're bleeding and winning.
He's bleeding and winning. Joel Embiid is losing, bleeding, and whining.
Grab a rebound, bleeder.
Yeah, I know you can barely move, and it's late in the game, but box out. and grab a rebound.
Put your ass on someone. Come on.
Yeah, it's a big one. Do it. Get the job done. So Sixers haven't beat – they've been in the second round and famously haven't been able to get out of the second round, but they never beat good teams. All the teams they play, they're generally a higher seed in the first round because Joel Embiid is there. And when he's around, they've been a pretty good ball club. But they haven't beaten a good basketball team in his tenure as when it comes to the playoffs. And that appears to be continuing. They are down 0-2 coming home. But Joel Embiid still thinks they're going to win this series. We'll see. Maybe they'll get swept and our over-under of 4 will be dead on, but simply because they don't win a ball game. Not that he doesn't finish it because he's hurt. It's possible.
He looks tough out there. Like, and not in the good way. Like, yeah. It's a rough watch.
Like, anytime he has to elevate for anything, you see his face and you know he doesn't feel good.
He's on offense too. He kind of just like plays like Kevin Durant, but at like half speed.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he's still effective. He's still the second best offensive player last night for the
Sixers. Yeah,
for the Sixers. Maybe if you want to, you might give him the best just because it's like, well, the Knicks have to double team him, which opens up Maxey.
He's
like,
such a force that
he gets so much respect still.
He's playing on one leg and they're still double teaming him. Like Josh Hart in the fourth quarter, as the Sixers were building a lead, I think this put them up 5. Josh Hart doubles off of Tyrese Maxey with like 1.2 seconds left on the shot clock to come to try to bother Joel Embiid. He makes a pass. Tyrese Maxey knocks down a 3. The Knicks call a timeout. That's how effective he is and instrumental to what they do. That a hampered guy who can barely move,
you can't drive to the basket,
short on time, and Josh Hart is still leaving Tyrese Maxey open to contest. And it led to an open 3. So, yeah, you can't knock him for what he's doing on that leg, but you can tell him to stop whining and be self-aware and realize you benefit so much from officiating. Maybe get a rebound. Or maybe ask Nicholas Batum to pretend like he cares. One of the two. Because they're down 0-2 and in a lot of trouble as the series switches to Philadelphia. We can talk about the Lakers a little bit on the other side, and mostly what Jamal Murray did. I want to hear from Jamal Murray when we come back, and then we'll move on from the NBA. There are more games tonight. We got the Pacers and the Bucks, among others, the Suns and the Wolves too. So you got a couple of good ones to pay attention to. The one seeds don't play till Wednesday. I think that's partly because they had to play 8 seeds who played on Friday. So they're giving the 8 seeds a couple more days off than they will. Or an extra day off as opposed to all the other teams who did not have to play Friday planned games. So if you are looking for the Thunder and the Celtics as the one seeds and what they'll do, you got to wait another day. But there's NBA action tonight to get to. And so is, the Astros are playing tonight too. I mean, if you get excited about that, they do play the Cubs on the road. Maybe Wrigley Field will jumpstart the Astros. No Fromber. He won't be available. There was some thought he'd pitch in this series. He will not, but you will see Verlander in the series. So that might make you feel good. We'll talk about that. We'll get into the rest of the night in the NBA when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Jamal Murray is joining us from Ball Arena. Jamal, can you hear us okay? This is Ernie Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Just put this moment into words for me. This is the kind of stuff you dream of doing in a playoff game. How did this feel? And take me through that last shot.
Man, I just want to give all the credit to my teammates, coaches, pops. I told my teammates when I was struggling, like, I'm going to look for y'all. I'm going to look for y'all. And every single one of them told me to keep shooting. Keep shooting. Be aggressive. Keep shooting. Even when I was throwing up that bull floater. they told me just stay aggressive and keep looking for it. Keep hunting it. I had the ball with a few seconds left, and I knew once I made a couple, the next one should go down as well.
Jamal Murray with the inside the NBA guys after the game. Yeah, and that floater was, as he said, BS. It was ugly. He was not confident. unsure of himself every time he got into the lane until he was very confident, and you can credit his teammates for that. And Sean thought Jamal Murray was going to thank the man on high because it seemed like he was trending in that direction, but he thanked his teammates instead.
Normally when it's – and maybe this is just C.J. Stroud's
– impact on you.
Yes, his missionary work that he's doing on Sundays. I thought that he was going to say, first of all, I'd like to thank God. And he said, nope.
Nope, I'm thinking Jokic. I'm thinking the Jokic.
Jokic and Porter. That's yes. Who I'm thinking.
And KCP gets some, too.
Christian Brown. You too.
Yes.
Before God.
Blasphemy is what we would call it. Thank you. No other gods before me. Certainly no other Nuggets before me. And Jamal Murray disagrees. He thanked the teammates, and credit to them, because he was bad. But he had a big late part of that fourth quarter. We talked about it before. The Nuggets execute at a level, particularly when it matters most, that not many teams can match. They got it done, so they go up 2-0. The other thing that happened are the Jokic brothers. A full-on punch in the face of someone. I don't know if it was a Laker fan. The guy wasn't wearing a Laker jersey, which is generally the case for a Laker fan on the road. They're going to let you know that they're Laker fans. So I'm going to assume it was a Nuggets fan. I don't know which Jokic brother it was. I guess the one who likes to punch people more than the other. Right in the face. Clean shot. Right in the face. And the other one was coming down. I don't know if to play peacekeeper, considering he's a Jokic brother. Unlikely.
What, considering the other one punched someone in the face?
Unless there's a hot-headed one, and then you've got the semi-hot-headed one. Then you got Jokic. All he does is like, ooh, when he doesn't get a foul call. Is that what kept the other two from being star basketball players, that they would just punch people? So, like, I don't know how it breaks down. Are they the two older brothers?
I think they're the older brothers.
So you have older, probably the angriest. Second oldest, a little less angry. Then you got Jokic, who's the perfect combination
of... He just loves horses and basketball. Yeah,
yes. What if Jokic was as angry as his brothers? How would that go? Wow. I don't think he'd last long if he has their temperament.
He'd have to chill out, yeah.
Because he's a big dude, so he's going to get hit a lot. Yeah.
He did push...
You're right. He did slap a guy in the face.
Yeah, he's done it too.
Yeah, you're right. It's been wiped away because of all the MVP stuff, but he had a part of his career earlier where he would hit guys in the face.
Yeah, he pushed Markieff Morris in the back and ended his career.
Well, at least the season. It was fun. It's not funny, but you think, people are like, he's selling that. Then he didn't play for like 60 games. So Jokic does have some of that. I appreciate you reminding me. And then there's in a playoff series where I think against the Nuggets, before the Nuggets became who they are now, they were struggling. They're eventually getting eliminated. And he got thrown out of a game for two against Devin Booker or something.
Oh, I thought it was campaign.
It might have been campaign.
Yeah, he like clothesline campaign.
So you're right. He does have that in him. He has just found a way to lessen, or maybe seeing a therapist.
I mean, part of it's also that I should win all the time now.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be as upset.
I think all those ones that we brought up, I think they're losing. They're in the process of losing that series.
Yes, he doesn't handle losing well.
Yes, but winning is awesome.
Yeah, he's had issues with Devin Booker in the past. He shoved Carmelo Anthony. Wow. So, yes, he's had his issues. Actually, Carmelo Anthony shoved him. So he's had his issues. Oh, it was campaign. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like he smacked campaign in the face in a game four as they were struggling against the Suns.
Is that why his face
Suns.
Looks like that? Oh.
That's not nice. What are we doing? He didn't permanently rearrange his facial features. No, nah, he didn't do it. I mean, sure, it wasn't great what Jokic did.
So it looked like that before. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to get into ripping a campaign.
Just an odd looking guy.
It happens sometimes, I guess. Some guys are odd looking. But yeah, he hit campaign, and he got ejected in a game four as the Nuggets were going on to be swept by the Phoenix Suns. So he does have it in him. But like you said, he's won so much that that's kind of got wiped away, and there's no reason for him to be as angry anymore. He just does the palms up when he wants a foul call that he doesn't get. So it runs in the Jokic family, and they just punch it. Look, I know. I'm thinking the Nuggets have Michael Porter Jr. His brothers have had issues.
Yes, one's incarcerated, the other one's banned for life from the NBA.
And then you've got the Jokic brothers, who
are punching fans,
in the face and have tried to start fights with other players. Does KCP have a brother we need to be worried about? What's Michael Malone's brother doing? I don't know. I don't know if he has one. But
that might be what they the rest of the team building strategy is like. Only children, please. we cannot deal with these guys.
Yeah. So it's maybe only those particular brother trios who have issues.
Does DeAndre Jordan have a brother that I need to know about?
No.
Marcus and Jeffrey, are they up to anything?
What is Peyton Watson's brother doing? Christian Brown's brother doing? I don't know.
Christian Brown's brother is playing Fortnite.
And Brendan
right
Malone, I thought he did have a brother. Brendan Malone is Michael Malone's brother. He recently passed away, 2023. He's a longtime assistant coach in the NBA. And yes, Michael Malone is his brother. Brendan Malone, RIP to that gentleman. He's an older gentleman, 88 years old when he passed away. So Michael Malone does have a brother, but he is not of the Porter or Jokic variety. He doesn't have the issues. I don't know how many. I think it's a unique thing to the Nuggets that those brother trios
having brothers that get in trouble every 2 weeks.
Yeah, some in tragedy.
Well, Mahomes has that too.
Yeah,
Mahomes has that with his brother and dad.
Who the Rangers? I'm trying to think. Do the Rangers are the current MLB champions? The Chiefs are the current NFL champions, and the Nuggets are the current NBA champions. Do the Rangers have a brother? Well.
I mean, Chapman has a
Chapman has a mom, yeah. True.
I guess
it's not a brother, but it is a family thing. And it's really more about Aroldis than it is someone else. Yeah. So maybe that's the case when you are an NBA or a champion. You have to have an issue.
You have one sibling where it's
And Travis has Jason, but there's no real issue with Jason other than he doesn't like wearing shirts in places where maybe he should wear a shirt.
Yeah. Some of it's just like, all right, guys.
It's performative. We get it. You're one of the bros. We get it. You're an everyman except for all the millions of dollars you make. We get it.
And the dating the most famous woman alive.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Travis is.
But other than that, they're just two normal brothers.
Throwing down beer. Yeah, Travis is throwing down beers at his graduation. You know, Jason Kelce may be the best center to ever do it, but you're just everyman. We get it. Take off your shirt. Drink beer. You're just like one of the guys. All right, tone it down, guys.
Yeah, can I get like a week off of Kelce content? That's all I ask for.
Well, this is about that time, right? Because
surely they have to go on vacation.
Well, Taylor's got the new album out.
Does that count as Kelce? I guess that is Kelce.
In some way, yes, it is Kelce content.
Yeah. Again, can I just sit back?
It's a real problem when one of the people in the relationship loves attention and then the other's Taylor Swift.
And
how are you going to avoid them?
Yeah. And there's a podcast involved. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. So to your question, no, you can't go a week.
And a brother that's retired, so he has nothing but free time to promote the podcast.
And to make appearances in different places. Yeah. Answer your question, no, you won't be free of them.
I know for a fact Jason Kelce is going to announce a Philadelphia Eagles draft pick and do the thing where they go on rants for 2.5 minutes because everyone loves that. Remember that was a thing? God.
Yeah, when the one of the ex-Cowboys was hyping up his team
or something,
and he was yelling at a particular fan base who was booing him. Sure. But Kelce is too recent for me to sit through that and go, oh, that's charming. I just saw you.
Oh, yeah. Pat McAfee actually did that.
For the Colts?
Yeah, for the Colts 1 year. I think there's another one. I think there was like a response from like the Eagles or Giants fan base, whichever one Drew Pearson was wagging the finger at.
Sure.
Yeah. I already know Jason Kelce's going to do that too.
I'm only going to accept it from Randall Cunningham if we're talking about Eagles. I'm not going to take it from Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce, you just played. You don't get to berate anyone.
Asante Samuel can also say whatever he wants.
Can he?
He will.
He
will no matter what.
Yeah, so. To be honest, it's not me giving him permission. He's just going to do it. He'll do it. So Kelce's will be part of our sports media for years to come, it feels like. As long as they remain relevant, and I guess as long as Travis is dating someone and playing, he'll be a thing. But yeah, if you want to see it, the Jokic brothers in an altercation with a random Nugget fan, and now the NBA says they're going to investigate. What's the investigation? We see a video of one of them punching a fan. And if they weren't the brother of an MVP and an NBA champion, they get thrown out. They wouldn't make another appearance in the arena. But they probably will be there for the next time the Nuggets play a home game. An investigation. There's no investigation to do. It's the privilege of having a brother who's really, really good at a sport.
How many punches connected?
One. A clean one, too. Usually one is enough, Sean.
You're saying there's two hits? One to his face, the other his face hitting the floor?
Well, he stayed up.
Oh.
I'll credit the fan for this. He did not hit the... He took a punch.
Jokic's brother soft?
Or maybe that fan has an iron chin. I don't know. But he did hit him clean from a bit of a distance. He had to reach over like a chair. And the fan just looked at him. All right, buddy, sure. And then no one let anything go any further because maybe something really ugly would have happened. But we'll see what the NBA sees. And then we'll see them not punish the Jokic brothers. Maybe give them a slap on the wrist or something. They're not going to get banned. They're not doing it to one of their stars. Never going to happen. We got a couple more segments to go here. We will get into the Astros and their pitching rotation for their series against the Cubs. No Fromber, not available. We'll see when he eventually does become a member of the rotation again because they need him because we're going to get another Arrigetti start. And I don't feel good about that. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So it'll be JP France tonight for your Astros. It's a national game. I mean, if for whatever reason you don't want to watch them on Space City, TBS will have the game, so you can watch them there if Todd Callis and Jeff Blum annoy you for whatever reason. Not sure that's the case for anyone, but if they do, you've got a different option if you want to watch them. Do we subscribe to calling JP France by his nickname? Well, it's not his nickname. It's one that's been given to him by people who don't particularly like the way he's pitching.
Wait, what's his nickname?
J6 France. Is that something we're going to do on this show, or are we going to just call him by JP?
I think JP. He has one. You know what? He has one start to earn his nickname.
So he has to pitch well, and we can continue to call him JP.
Yes, I thought you were going to say like John Paul or whatever. No. Is the J and the P.
Now am I going to call him by his whatever his first name might be?
Hey, pitch better, right?
But there are some
Jorenthal.
But there are some people, and not just people who like tweet at the shows here. I've seen it. Just on my For You page that people are calling him J6 France for reasons that you can figure out. But we're going to allow him the opportunity to earn the JP. And they're going against a Cubs team who surprisingly is better than the Astros. And I say surprisingly because of what the expectations were before the year. But watching the Astros play now, nothing is surprising about someone being better than them.
There's nothing you could. I mean, literally, most of the teams in the league have the vast majority of the teams in the league have a better record.
The Marlins have one less win. That's where we're at. The Marlins have one less win.
Hmm. Have they played more games?
Yes, they played. They played 24. They're 6-18.
Okay, so they're comfortably. Well, not comfortably.
Not comfortably.
The record isn't on the line tonight.
The what an awful thing!
If the season ended tonight after the game,
the White Sox are 3-19, so they've got plenty of
breathing room.
They have plenty of breathing room as far as the worst teams in baseball.
Great, love hearing that.
But they're a bottom five team in baseball by schedule. I mean, by record at least.
Do you know that they did a draft lottery now for MLB?
So even now,
I didn't. I mean,
what? Why?
Shout out to the Astros. I had no idea that.
I had no idea either.
I had no idea that they changed that.
Why a draft lottery?
So teams
don't tank.
Like the Astros stop tanking. Yeah.
Get it together, Astros. You're not guaranteed the number one overall pick if you keep playing this poorly.
I meant the Astros in like 2012, but now also.
I wish they hadn't changed. I mean, if there was a real chance here.
Yeah, top five pick.
Yeah, well, it's still.
I'll start watching college baseball to see who's good.
No, you won't. No, you won't. That's a lie.
I won't.
That's
I definitely
flat out lie. No one does. Well, no one watches college baseball unless you're for prospects, unless your job is that. No,
until the term super regionals get thrown around, I'm out. I have nothing on college baseball.
Yeah, I'm with you. I used to care quite a bit, but not to the level where I care about prospects. I'd watch my team play and hopefully they do well. But if you're not paid to watch college baseball, who really is paying that much attention until, like you said, the super regional? Or maybe your favorite team is hosting a regional. Sorry, Jeremy Branham. I know you are affiliated with Cougar baseball, but
I only listen to the
nice save
radio broadcast for the Houston.
Nice save. Even though you are a Texas guy, you will listen to the radio broadcast of Houston baseball. You don't even work with Jeremy. You don't have to lie.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's not Joe or Paul who do that. You don't have to lie. Throw your supporters away in a lie. You don't have to.
I just felt bad once you like said sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted to.
I think he knows that college baseball has a bit of a niche sport.
It is,
particularly in a big city,
but passion in that niche.
Yes, in college towns, I'd agree. In this town,
hey, they might be the best team in the town. They might be because I don't know what the record is. I think they're good. I'm going to say I think they're good.
You have Google in front of you. You can find out if you really want to.
It would mess up my algorithm.
On Google? It's not Twitter. There's no for you on Google. You can look it up and see how good the Cougs are in baseball.
Then I'll start getting ads for
Cougar baseball?
Yeah.
And we wouldn't want that.
You
want
to, you know, get tickets.
That's not even your computer. What do you mean?
No, but it's connected to my...
Oh, you're signed in the Gmail? Okay.
Yeah, come on.
We couldn't. What are they going to sell you? Ads for cleats? What are you talking about? Cougar tickets? What are you talking about? You're going to get ads.
They're better. The Houston Cougars are better than the Astros.
Oh, it's very hard for that not to be the case.
They're 20-20.
Ooh, 500.
Yeah. Oh, close in conference play. 6-15. What's the Astros record?
7-16.
Okay, so pretty close in conference play.
And we would call the the Astros aren't 6-15 in the AOS. They probably would be how they're playing, but they're not.
And the Big 12 is a meat grinder, you know.
It is. It's their first year in the Big 12, right? Great, so it's a step up in competition.
I assume.
You don't know about it anymore. You're in the SEC. Did that start this year? Did that start next year for baseball?
It's July is when it actually happened.
The official transition. So you're still in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's how I know. It's such a strong conference. Don't ask me any follow-up questions.
Who's leading the conference?
It's too close to call.
No, you can look it up. It's another thing you can look up. It's too close to call. No, I can look it up and see who's leading the...
Texas Tech, I assume? I don't know. They seem like they're normally good.
Are they?
They seem like they're normally good.
I don't know if that's the
case. Big 12 the baseball I grew up
Oklahoma on. Oklahoma's the leader of the Big 12. Wow. They are... And Texas is one game behind. You're Longhorns.
Really?
Contending for the Big 12 title.
Everyone wants the baseball coach fired.
He's having a good year. 33-5, 14-4. Maybe he's not maybe he doesn't do well in the tournament, in the regional, in the super regional. You would have to tell me.
I can't tell you.
Yeah.
They made the super regionals last year.
So, look at that. But they're having a good year this year, and they're finally in the Big 12. The team was not. It's the Astros. But you'll see J.P. France and Spencer Arrighetti, and then you'll have Justin Verlander in the Cubs series. And then they play the Rockies. They're going to go to Mexico as well. And there's some question about whether the Astros would want Fromber pitching in Mexico as his first start back. So that's not guaranteed that he'll be back on the road trip. But it's in question. And whenever Fromber comes back, I say it'll help, but they have so many issues that getting guys healthy is all you can hope for, and hopefully things turn around when that begins to happen. But their lineup is healthy, and it really hasn't mattered. And so is the back half of the bullpen, and we know how much of a disaster that has been on a game-to-game basis. Simply can't trust them to do what they're expected to do, and that's to get outs in big moments and high-leverage situations. Just hasn't been the case on a consistent basis, and that's part of the reason your Astros are 7-16, and we're talking about Big 12 baseball in the standings because anything is better than having a discussion about how bad the Astros are. So does the turnaround start today? We'll find out.
For the Houston Cougs, I think they're off.
So Jeremy has the day off, at least as far as the Cougs are concerned.
Yes.
He'll do the show with Joel later today. We got one more segment to go before we get to another show. It won't be the Killer Bees. They come on at 3. It'll be Gallant and George. And part of the Gallant and George, actually all three, all not maybe not all three members. I don't know what Sean's going to be doing. But two of the members are going to be part of the draft show on Friday. From 6 to 9 here on ESPN 975, we'll have the draft show. It'll be about pro football. It'll be about a team in the city who's got new uniforms. It'll be about who they choose on the second day of the draft. And if you're just interested in listening to the draft on the radio, ESPN 975 will also have the first day of the NFL draft. Texans don't have a first-round pick, but maybe you just like hearing draft talk on the radio. So we'll have that for you as well from when the draft begins. So we'll have you covered for the first 2 days of the draft. Stay tuned. All your draft talk here on ESPN 975. And with that, we'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Got a couple minutes here before we wrap it up. The show, that is. And what have we learned? Sean informed me that the star of Colorado's win, well, I mean, Travis Hunter played in the game, and so did Shedeur Sanders, but there was that little running back who scored 4 touchdowns against TCU in Colorado's opener that kind of announced to the world that Colorado would be someone to contend with, and they were for about 3 weeks. And then the Pac-12 schedule started, and we saw the lack of talent hurt them. Dylan Edwards kind of burst onto the scene as a back we didn't know a lot about, because remember Alton McCaskill, the Houston running back, transferred there, and a lot of people thought he would be the one to be a star at Colorado. Dylan Edwards was that star, big part of their team. He's transferred, and probably because a guy named Dallas Hayden from Ohio State transferred into Colorado, because Deion's roster will continue to be a revolving door. So one of the players who they counted on quite a bit will no longer be there. The question is, how long will Deion be there? That's a guy who it feels like once Shiloh and Shedeur are done with their college careers, is out the door. The question, or at least he would want to be, but will Colorado win enough games for him to be a guy who can, you know, transition to a bigger job? I mean, the problem for him is Mike Norvell pulled a 13-win season out of his ass, and now the Florida State job isn't available for him anymore. I think that might have been the dream. I'm sure he had supporters, and Mike Norvell continued on with the trajectory of Florida State before last year. I think they would have been in real trouble.
How desperate
he would have been in real trouble.
How desperate did the Florida Gators get
to hire Deion?
Guy, he doesn't have any love for Florida State now.
Well, they passed on him, so yeah. I'm sure he
they passed over but, passed him over to.
But
hire
would, I'm not saying De, I'm not seeing time. Deion the I'm not saying Deion the mercenary wouldn't take the job.
Oh,
but would the Gators hire him coming off what possibly is probably what at most a 5-6-1 season?
Yeah, why not?
Because they want to win football games. That's why not.
Oh.
That's kind of important for them. I mean,
the thing with Deion is you can always just go imagine the talent he'd get at
in the state of Florida.
XYZ.
Sure. I mean,
even though he shows no interest in recruiting.
Yeah, the portal is his thing. I mean, but he would be in the state of Florida
you don't really have to be in Florida to recruit the portal.
It's true. But the state of Florida would provide him easier access to the talent he's going to need to be a contender, which is what Florida wants. So I would say unlikely. I don't think they do it, mostly because I don't think Deion's going to win enough that they could justify making that hire.
I think he's out at this season.
Do you think Colorado fires him or he leaves? Where's he going to go?
I think he resigns
and decides I'm not going to be a head coach anymore.
Yes.
Oh, period, or just at Colorado?
Definitely at Colorado, and I don't know. Does he? Because there has to be like a job that he can sell as a better job that he can get. And what would that be?
And what team is going to?
What team is going to be a better job than Colorado, but also super desperate like Colorado was to like get an injection of life into the program, Because that's the thing that, I mean, I was joking with Florida, where it's like, but Florida can also go, I don't know, we're Florida. Like, we can,
someone will want this job.
We don't need to inject, like, look at how much all the people now care about Colorado football. Florida is like, cool. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. We're still Florida.
No, it gets people really out to the swamp? Anything. No, it gets them really out to the swamp? Winning games.
Florida could, as good as Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss, Florida could go hire Lane Kiffin if they wanted to.
Yes.
There may be some off-the-field stuff that keeps them from doing that, but they can get a guy of that caliber if they wanted him.
A lot of guys would have to, or not a lot, but a handful of guys would have to say no before Deion becomes realistic. And that's if Deion, like, wins seven, eight games this year.
And is that going to be likely? Probably not. He's in the Big 12. I mean, sure, it's losing Oklahoma and Texas, so it gets a little easier. But I don't imagine that Colorado team is better than Tech or K-State and all the up. He's gonna be probably in that same realm. Maybe with another year under his belt, they win a couple, but maybe five, six at the most. What are we talking about?
The issue is that they're adding guys in the portal. But, like, Dylan Edwards, the reason we're talking about him is that they're losing guys that they got last year in the portal.
Yes.
And they haven't recruited.
He doesn't like it. So they're
just shuffling players around, but it's not – they're not stacking talent.
And are we going to believe that the guys he gets this year are substantially better than the guys he had playing for him last year? I don't know. Certainly the season will bear that out. But I'm going to say probably the same level of talent.
Maybe the case for them to get better, Shadur gets better.
And maybe
which is the case for, like, any team.
Your quarterback got better?
Yeah, what if our quarterback becomes, like, from one of the best to the best quarterback in the nation?
And
like,
can you protect him? And will Shadur Sanders stop holding onto the football as long as he does?
No.
Because well, there's the answer to our question, I guess. So
I actually don't know. Will he stop holding onto the ball? Chances are probably not.
Yeah, you're going to...
He was getting smoked every week.
Yeah, you would think you would hope for his sake and his future that he decides getting smoked for Colorado isn't what he wants. You credit his, you want to call it courage, but at some point, self-preservation matters, and maybe we'll just take the check down. Maybe we take the check down, and we got a punt. We'll see. They certainly have Travis Hunter. Will he be depended on as much as he was last year? I know part of the allure was him playing offense and defense, but you know, most great college teams, they don't have to play their best players 100 snaps on both sides of the ball. The combination, like the comparison to Charles Woodson was a bit player on offense for the Michigan Wolverines because they had players at wide receiver who could play. Travis Hunter is a special player. He could probably be a first rounder at multiple positions, wide receiver and corner, but you probably don't want to depend on him as much as they had to do last year. The hope for Colorado is that they don't. The hope for Deion is maybe he wins six games and he has another job waiting for him. I don't think it'll be the level of Florida.
Does he want to coach?
I think he does, but I think he wants. I don't think he wants to be like a coach where I win six, and then I win eight, then I win ten, and then I have built the program to a level where I can parlay that success into a bigger job. I think he wants to say, give me my six, seven wins. I'm sure, of course, he wants to win as many games as possible. But, hey, 2 years here, and then another bigger job will hire me. I think skipping the steps is what he's looking for. But win 10 games, and then you can skip a lot of steps. I don't see that coming for him. But more power to you. Because if you can get into a verbal altercation with Tyreek Hill in the offseason, why not? If you missed that story, Tyreek said he put up 175 yards on Deion. Deion said, we're talking about a monument versus a moment. And Tyreek was like, huh? What? So apparently a current wide receiver and a current college football head coach need to have a back and forth when it comes to words. Tyreek, I guess it's better than the other things you've been doing in the offseason.
Yeah.
I'll take it, I guess.
I'll take Tyreek.
Yeah. Oh, versus prime Deion?
Oh,
not
no.
Current Deion.
Oh, well, yeah.
Tyreek said he put up 175 on prime Deion, not current coach Deion.
Not coach prime
Deion. Yeah, not the one who's...
I was going to say, he has like seven toes.
Well, who are you, Granato?
Take Tyreek Hill for that.
Yeah, the guy, yes, he's missing parts of his feet. Like, of course you take this version. Yeah, I'm talking about the one who was covering Jerry Rice.
We're not 1-7.
Maybe 120. We're done for the day. Gallant and George up next.
Is the quarterback?
Sure. okay. do a take a shot as we end the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.